to go.
And so today I'm going to start a series, not called Give, but called Raise the Flag. Now I got to tell you, Becky had told me that day she wanted to get a bunch of flags, and we bought some extra flags. And aren't these flags awesome? Now I am instituting one rule. I don't give you many rules from the pulpit, but I am instituting one rule. There is no Googling what country a flag is while I'm preaching. Okay? I've already had everybody, what flag is that? I'm thinking, man, I can already see it. People are going to be out there going. And I'm going to look out and they're going to go, oh. And I'm going to think they're listening to me, and it's that they figured out that that flag is from Trinidad. See, I'm smart. That's the only. Somebody else Googled it and told me. But I got news for you. We're not in all of these countries as individual missionaries. However, by supporting the Church of God Missions Department, which we do, we are in every one of these countries and more. Church of God Missions is in 100, I believe it's 168 or 172, can't remember which, countries around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful part of being a part of a movement like this. All the flags on the walls, we are in each of those countries, and I can't remember which is which, but we're in each of those countries. And I believe that God wants to lead us and guide us in His power. And so this month I'm going to be talking about raise the flag. And today in particular we're going to talk about raise the flag of preparedness. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning. Isaiah chapter 62, verses 10 and 11. Now I'm also going to do something a little different in this series. Many times when we preach series in this church, I will have a theme verse, but we'll jump all over the Bible with the sermons. Every sermon this month will come from this text. This will be our text. Man, I am so excited. I'm pulling three sermons out of two verses. That means I can take my time and do whatever I want to do. Amen. Reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this. Excuse me, we're going to read from the NLT. That's what's on the screen. I wanted you to hear it that way. It says, go out through the gates. Prepare the highways for my people to return. Smooth out the road. Pull out the boulders. Raise a flag for all nations to see. The Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. See, He brings His reward with Him as He comes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You right now. And Lord, I give You glory and I give You honor and I give You praise. And Lord, I ask that as we walk into this month, Lord, that You would help us to raise the flag. Raise the flag of missions. Raise the flag of salvation. Raise the flag of evangelization. Lord, I want You to help us, Lord Jesus. Be a light, Lord, not just here in our city, not just here in our region, in our state, in our country, but Lord, help us to be a light around the world. Lord, we give You glory, we give You honor, and we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. I am fired up. You know why? Because it's time to raise the flag. When I think about raising the flag, before I even get into my sermon, let me just take a minute. Yeah, I got a minute. Let me take a minute. When I think about raising the flag, I remember back probably about 2014, maybe even 2013, we had our then missions rep, Brother Chuck Duncan, come and preach for us. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've heard a lot of sermons from a lot of people, but I cannot always tell you who preached what. But I remembered Brother Duncan's sermon. Brother Duncan walked up, and he stood here on this platform, and those were the days that I didn't have a pulpit. I just had my iPad stand, and with a guest speaker, I asked him, do you need a pulpit? He said, no. So the iPad wasn't even there. It was an empty stage. And Brother Duncan walked up and he began, and if you'd have told me this would have excited me like it was, I'd have told you it's crazy. But he began to recite the genealogy of Christ from memory. But what excited me was why he told the genealogy of Christ. You see, Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he goes all the, and Brother Duncan went all the way back into Exodus, and he talked about how that when they laid out the campsite, Judah was the furthest to the east, on the east side. And when they were to leave camp, Judah was to be the first nation, the first tribe, to lead the children of Israel. And in front of the tribe of Judah was to be its flag bearer. And the flag bearer had a name. The name of the flag bearer was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And generation upon generation, whoever was the Lion of the tribe of Judah was the first one to walk on the journey. And when Brother Duncan ran all the way down to Jesus through the genealogies, all of a sudden he began to talk about how that Jesus was our flag bearer. He was carrying the flag, saying, "That's who we follow. That's what it's about. I'm going to tell you, I am a patriotic person. Don't get me going on all the flag issues lately." Okay? I believe in the importance of our flag. I love the American flag. I love these countries. I love missions. I love America. I believe in the power of that flag. And it excites me. I've been on motorcycle rides with fallen soldiers as we were escorting a fallen soldier back to his hometown. 2,000 bikes as we were escorting this soldier. And I saw hundreds of flags lining the road. And I cried. I was glad we were riding at low speeds because I was crying. Had all my leathers on. What's worse than that, I looked over a couple bikes behind me. There was a big old big biker. Tough biker. Had club names on the back of his jacket. Or a club name on the back of his jacket. He was a tough dude. He was the kind of guy that if I ran into him on the street corner, I'd be like, if I walked up to him at a bike show, I like went around him, going, "I don't know. I'm a weekend warrior. I'm not like that." But I saw it one of the red lights as I was looking around. This big, tough guy. He's wiping tears from his eyes. You know why? It was the power of the flag. It was the power of the flag. I can't tell you how many times I've been at funerals. Can't tell you how many times I've been there when they've folded a flag up that covered casket and presented it to a mom or a daughter or a wife or a sister. And I weep at the power of the flag. I believe that it is our job to raise the flag. Not the flag of America, but the flag of faith, the flag of hope, the flag of peace. And as I began to think about raising the flag, I thought about preaching about the flag of hope and the flag of peace and the flag of victory. But then I really got to looking at this verse. And I decided that instead of preaching, talking about those things, this is what we're going to talk about this month. We're going to start today with the flag of preparation. We're going to talk about preparing. We're going to talk next Sunday about the flag of salvation and celebration. And we're going to talk about Jesus' salvation coming, how that it causes us to celebrate and to praise. And then we're going to conclude this series in 3 weeks, in 2 weeks, with the sermon called on the flag of retribution. That means what we get, the reward. We have a reward coming. I don't think we talk about that enough. And as I begin to think about these things, I begin to realize how much they tie into missions. Because I'm going to tell you, big chunk of missions work is preparation. When Becky and I went and Michael went to China this past summer, the first 4 days was preparation. We were getting things ready. We were preparing. We got there and realized that we even needed more preparation. As we got there and got into the thing, we changed the way we did some things by the end of the week. Why? We figured out it would work better. Me and Michael started acting out the stories, as Becky would tell them. And so every morning we would get together and we would talk about how we were going to act out the stories, what we were going to do, how we would make them laugh, how we would cause them to listen. It was all from preparation. We're preparing the way. But I'm going to tell you, when you reach out in missions, when you and missions, I want you to understand, missions reaches from around the corner to around the world. Never think missions is just China or Scotland or Africa. Missions is Walmart. Missions is your job. All my high school students, missions is your school. When I was a youth pastor, I trained over, I guess, close to 400 students to go into high schools as missionaries. It was one of my big things. That is a mission field. But how, what do we do? What are we doing? We are preparing the way to hear the gospel. When I read this passage that Isaiah writes, I see a few things. In the New King James, it says this in verse 10. It says, go through the gates. Now, I don't have this on my slide, but let me tell you something. You cannot prepare the way for anybody until you leave the building. You can't raise a flag in here. You got to go out there. Go through the gate, go through the door, go out into the world. Go where people need to hear it. But then Isaiah continues, and he says, prepare the highways. Prepare the highway. Let me tell you something. When we prepare a highway, we make it passable. One place in the Bible talks about building up the highways. You know what that means? It takes the hills and valleys out. When you build up the highway, you don't have to go uphill and downhill so much. It's more even. It's more. There are people that are not with us today. You know why? They're preparing the highway. There's freezing rain out there. And I know we've got at least one, maybe two, that are probably out there driving a salt truck around. We've got another one that's here today that's already been on phone with his people. Our church might as well be an extension of MoDOT because we got like a ton of MoDOT people here. And we've got some that this morning are out preparing the highway. We got others that are strategically from their management position, even today, been on the phone from this building talking to their crews about what needs to be done to prepare the highway. They make a plan. They bring in the salt. You are the salt of the earth. You know why they put salt down? To keep people from slipping off the road. Why do we need to be the salt of the earth? Because there are people that are walking down the road and they fall away into sin and they slip off the highway to heaven. It's time that we start being salt that prepares a way for them. Isaiah says, prepare the highway. You're going to call them in. He is talking here specifically to Israel. And he's talking about Israel's return from around the world to Israel. And he's saying, look, we're going to call them in, but we've got to be ready to receive them in. Ooh. If we're going to reach this world, we got to be prepared for this world. When you go across the street, you need to know what to say. When you go to Walmart, you need to know how to pray for somebody. When you go around the world, you got to be prepared. It doesn't matter where you go, you have to be prepared. We have a team in our church that does in-state disaster relief and church repair. Men and women of action. I love men and women of action. I have just been named the state coordinator of men and women of action. We've been to the floods in Louisiana. We've been to the hurricane relief in Texas. We took a team of seven of us to New York to the Victory Point Church to do repairs on that church. We've got a roof coming up in Kansas that we're going to be doing in the spring. We've got a church in St. Joe that we're going to be working on in the fall, plus whatever else comes up. And I get excited about that. But I'm going to tell you, when we got ready to go to New York, I had Pastor Sean Silkwood send me pictures of his basement that he needed repaired. And he sent me the pictures and a description of what he needed. And I looked at it and went, oh, we need to do some work. But I knew how to prepare. I went to Brother Furman. I'm going to tell you, I got a big reputation right now with the Men and Women of Action internationally. The director knows my name. I talked to him this last week. He was so excited, and oh man, I'm so proud of what you're doing. I'm excited about it. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, if it wasn't for Furman, I'd be worthless. But I took that list to Furman. And Furman got together with Mike, and we got Mike's big trailer. You could live in Mike's trailer. And we got Mike's big trailer, if it was not too hot, not too cold. But I think he actually has a little heater he puts in there sometime too. But anyway, we got his big trailer, and we had every kind of tool you could think of. You know why? We were prepared to do the work. See, it's one thing to say I'm going. But when we prepare the highway, what we're doing is we're saying we're making it possible to achieve what we want. We have got to get to a place that we... Well, God will bring him in when he wants to. Let me tell you something. God can't bring him in if we haven't cleared the highway. God can't bring them in. We haven't made high, made level the road. We haven't made access. We haven't put the salt down where they don't slip off. We sit around and we think God will just usher them in. No, it doesn't work that way. When we talk about missions and we talk about home missions and world missions and personal missions, we've got to understand that the first aspect is we've got to clear the highway. We've got to make it where when they get on the road to Christ, there's nothing in the way. Boy, I could preach here for an hour. Because I could talk about a few of the things that we put in the way. I'm not going to preach about them. I'm just going to tell you about some of them. That way, if I don't preach about them, I'm not preaching at you. Because, see, there are things that get in the way of the road. There are things like attitudes. There are things like egos. There are things like tradition. There are things like
I'm trying to say it back. I know what I'm thinking. I can't think of the word. That's great that I forgot the word. There are things like prejudice. That's the word I was looking for. Come on. In America, we think of prejudice by the color of the skin. But in most of the world, prejudice is more about the amount of the pocketbook. Most of the world, you can't tell who hates the other by looking at them. It's by their family line or by their tradition or by their... We have all these prejudices. And it blocks the road. He says, prepare the road. Then he goes on, he says, smooth out the road. Smooth out the road. Now, when we prepare it, we've got it ready. When we smooth it out, we make it easy. Has anybody ever traveled much? Anybody ever drove across Pennsylvania? Actually, it's... The Pennsylvania Turnpike has got to be one of the worst turnpikes in the entire world. Now, we went out there for the revival, and there's a section of the Pennsylvania Turnpike they just redid. And you get on that road, and you're like... And then you get past it. You ever been driving down a highway? This used to happen to me in Oklahoma a lot. Driving down a highway, and you hit a county... line sign. Well, this county ain't got no money for roads. All of a sudden, you can tell where the maintenance stops. I love it. Sometimes when it's real bad, a county will put end of county maintenance. They're saying, we're not responsible for what you're about to hit. You have ridden as far as you can on what we're taking care of. You're on your own now. Let me tell you something. We have a responsibility, according to God, to smooth the road. Can I be honest? I'm going to anyway. I thought about that by the time I said it, like, no, I'm just not going to be honest. Tell you something. We walk into the church, and if we have a problem, if we had a hard time, if we had to endure some pain and some heartache, we think that's what everybody has to go through. Well, I had to go through it. They can go through it. God says smooth. You know what that means? That means we take our hard time and we see those potholes that we hit. And instead of just sitting back and waiting for somebody else to hit the pothole, we go out there and we fill it in. We smooth it out. You see, I may have struggled with some things, but that doesn't mean you need to struggle with what I struggle with. Because if I struggle with it, I know where it's at. It's my responsibility as a child of God to go smooth the road out. Pastor, what's this has to do with missions? It has everything to do with missions. When we go around the world, we're not going there just to say, well, y'all got to suffer the way you are. No, we go there to bring hope and to bring peace. And we go there to teach and to train. And we go there to love. You know how you smooth out the road spiritually? L-O-V. You love. Becky said, not being selfish. Well, that's the way I deal with it. Grow up. My mama, love you, Mom. She's probably watching today. By the way, be praying for Daddy's had an ear infection this week. But anyway, but my mama, when I first got into ministry and first got married, we would tell Mom, something such and such was going on, Mom always had one phrase, welcome to the ministry. And I picked that up, and you can ask Pastor Brian and Pastor Anna,
There have been many times I'm like, welcome to the ministry. That's just the way it is, folks. Be honest. What I need to be doing is trying to smooth that out. Say it. Listen, amen. Because here's what happens. When I'm saying welcome to the ministry, when we say, well, that's just part of Christian life, when we say, well, you're just going to have some struggles in this life, what we're saying is, I went through those pains, I lived through it, so you need to toughen up and live through it too. But the truth is, we've got to quit doing that and we've got to start working to smooth the road. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. They don't stay on the road anyway. So you know what you do? You widen the lanes. Now, I'm not saying that you make things that are wrong right. I'm saying you start making a way to bring them back to the center. Bring them back on path. Guardrails. You start smoothing things out. I drive down the road in every state but Missouri, about 8 inches or 10 inches onto the shoulder off of the yellow line, they put these rumble strips so if you go to sleep, you hear them. But in Missouri, they put them on the yellow line, sometimes 3 or 4 inches on the roadside of the yellow line. And Ben's, I drive on the yellow line. My wife has a constant massage the whole time we're driving down the road. Let me tell you something. When we set out to smooth the road, when we set out to smooth the road, we make a path. We make a direction for people to follow. And when we've hit a pothole, when we've hit a trial, a struggle, a situation, we don't just run off and leave it. We go fill it in. Oh, let me fix this. Let me change the attitude with which I did that, so that those that come behind me can see a new attitude. And all of a sudden, we begin to roll. We begin to move. We begin to smooth the road. And I love this one. Pull out the boulders. New King James says, take out the stones. Pull out the boulders. If we're going to reach this world, we got to take away the stones. Sin is death. Everybody agree? Sin is death. To be in sin is to be dead. Amen? When Jesus walked up to a friend who had died, been put in a tomb, sealed with a stone. You know why he was sealed with the stone? Because he stunk. Can I tell you something? Your friends that sin, that live in sin, they stink. They smell. But when Jesus walked up to him, Jesus said, roll the stone away. Move the stone. You cannot reach the gospel into the dead until you take the stone away. You cannot carry the loss back until you take the stones off the road, because they barricade, they block, they hinder. But when he moved the stone away, he could call Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes walking out of the grave. Oh, but that's not the biggest stone I find in the Bible. Because I find in the Bible that Jesus was arrested. He was tried and convicted of no crime. He was imprisoned, beaten, spit on, whipped, had a cross put on his back and walked up the hill of Calvary. He was nailed to that cross, dropped in, stood up on the ground, and he was lifted up on that cross. He bled and he died. And then he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And they placed a stone in front of the mouth. The king, so concerned, even came and put his seal on the stone. You know what that means? That means they put hot wax around the stone. And he sealed it with his signet ring, saying, I verify this stone is in place and sealed and not going anywhere. For 3 days, Jesus roamed the bowels of the earth. I wasn't there. This is what I like to believe. I like to believe, like many of the stories we've heard, he walked down into the pit of hell. And the demons were celebrating. And they were having a party. We got Jesus in the grave. And it's just me. I like to believe he walked up to the room where they were at. And he didn't walk through the door. He didn't open the door. I just believe he went, whack, just kicked it in. I like a tough man, Jesus, okay? He walked in that room. The demons began to tremble. Satan froze in fear. And I believe that Jesus walked to him and said, hand him over. What are you talking about? Give me the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Because from this point on, sin is not going to have any victory. Sin is not going to have a hold. Death cannot destroy. From now on, the grave is nothing to be afraid of. Because if they will accept me, they can walk through death to me, and the grave will just be a doorway to victory. And I believe he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Oh, and that's great. We can shout about that. There's still a stone on the tomb. But all of a sudden, he might have remembered Isaiah. Oh, got to read it. Jesus laying in the tomb. He's got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that third morning, he wakes up and hears the words of Isaiah as he says, go through. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Build up the highway, make a roadway, take out stones. And I almost hear Jesus say, you know what, I think I will, boop, and that stone rolls away on its own. The earthquake comes and that stone disappears. Let me tell you something, church, when we walk in, we walk in to believing in our faith. We start removing the hindrances to life. We start getting the stones out of the way. We start moving things. Why? Because Jesus has showed us the example. When he moved the stone away, he walked out alive. I'm going to tell you, when you gave your heart to Jesus, he moved a stone out of your life. He made a way for you. When you witness to somebody else, when God comes into their life, he moves a stone away. We need to be the biggest stone moving business in the world when we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stones barricade. I can go back. I can talk about the different kinds of stones, much like some of the potholes we talked about earlier. Some of the different kinds of stones. Stones of tradition. Well, now, they can have faith as long as they have faith the way I do. Now, I believe God is the only way to heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as long as they like the same music I like, then they can have faith. I, I was looking. I believe it was one of my butt verses this week, I think. I was looking at, and I didn't use it, but it was something talking about that. It was talking about the tribes on the east side of the Jordan, and how that got Joshua went to him and said, "Listen, you know the deal you've got with Moses, and your family, and your livestock can all stay here. This can be your land, just outside the promised land." That's a whole other sermon, but you're powerful men. You're strong soldiers. Didn't say they had to go and fight. They had to lead their brothers and fight. And as I was reading that verse this week, it hit me. You know what he's saying? I will give you what you want. If you're happy, if you're sad, and I don't mean this to sound negative, if you're happy, you know what I'm finding out? I'm 48 years old. Michael is not 48 years old. And Michael listens to music, and I'm like, what is that? What did they do with music? And I don't like it. I like my music. I like my music in the church. When I listened to secular music, I had my music I liked. All came out of the 80s. If it wasn't from 80-something, didn't have somebody that had hair, you know, down to their waist and spandex on, they couldn't sing. I mean, you know. God. But when you come into the church, man, I love as a deer panteth after the water brook. I like some of the hymns. I sing them all the time at home, but I like a lot of the choruses that came out in the 90s. That's sort of my favorite church music. We were just starting to push the edge a little bit of what we thought in our mind. And I liked it. And if that's where I wanted to stay, now that's not where I want to stay because I like the new stuff too. But if that's where I wanted to stay, God's saying, you can worship me with stuff from the 90s. That's okay. But you've got to be able to lead the charge for the change that the others want. You've got to be willing to lead the charge for your brothers. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting the stone out of the way of saying this is the way, the only way we can do it. And saying, you know what, I can have this, but I'm going to lead the fight to make sure you get to worship this way. Oh, I may like that Redback hymnal. And I may like that a lot, but I guarantee you I'm going to lead the fight for you to worship however you want to worship as long as it's glorifying God. See, we get the stone of tradition out of the way. We get the stone of personal preference out of the way. We get the stone, again, of prejudice, of well, I did it on my own. Let's see if you can do it on your own. See, that stone is based in the idea that if I had to suffer, you got to suffer. If I had to have a hard time, you got to have a hard time. Now, sister, I know this never happened to you. But if I got to deal with people in the church that don't like me, then you're going to deal with somebody in church that don't like you too. Because I know everybody in church always liked you. If I got to have a hard time, you got to have a hard time. And if you can't make it through, then you're just not strong enough to be a Christian like me. That's a stone that's blocking the path. And he says, pull out the boulders. Remove the stones. Raise the flag. Raise the flag. Church, I've come by here this morning. Come by to tell you, God has called each of us to a purpose. When we talk about missions,
I'm not talking about something for somebody else. It's not something for Becky. It's not something for Pastor or Michael or Jabay or some of us that have traveled around the world. It's not what missions is. Every one of you is called to missions. Every one of you is called to go. Every one of you is called to prepare the highway. Every one of you is called to make smooth the road. Every one of you is called to remove the stones. You're called to raise the flag of preparedness. You're called to raise a banner that says we're going to be ready.
I'll tell you something. I believe that we may be heading into a season of growth. I believe that.
But I tell you what, we better prepare the highway. We got to clear the road. We got to move the stones. We got to make sure that there's no stones of that's my seat. We got to make sure that we've prepared the highway. You know what we mean by preparing the highway? We better make sure that there's no problems having workers for nursery, and there's people to help clean the building, and there's people to help with children's church, and there's people to help with youth. I'm going to tell you, I was talking to, I think it was Pastor Anna this week, and I said, oh, is Pastor Anna and Pastor Brian at their MIP meeting? I said, I think maybe we could handle it if something crazy happened and over the next 3 weeks, 50 people walked in the church. I think we might be able to handle that. We might be able to have, we'd have to make some changes. Yeah, we either need to figure out a way to build a bigger bathroom or we're going to have to go to two services because bathrooms and parking and all that isn't big enough for that many people. And boy, that's going to make some people nervous. Every time I talk about two services, there's some people. I'm going to tell you, it's going to come at some point because I don't want to build another building to be millions of dollars in debt. We can do things twice. You can sing twice. She rolls her eyes, but we can do it anyway. But if 50 people walk in, I think we can make it. Some things that I've changed, I think we can make it. But if God sent a revival, and in the next month, 150 people walk, is our highway prepared for it? Or is our youth ministry ready? Is our children's ministry ready? Is our worship ministry ready? Is our nursery ministry ready? Is our hospitality ministry? Oh, that's if we had a hospitality ministry. Is our visitation ministry ready? Is our discipleship program ready? Is our small groups ready? You know why we haven't had 150 people walk in the door? Our highway ain't ready. Our highway ain't ready. Our faith isn't ready. Our commitment isn't ready. You want to know how we get ready? We start preparing. We start acting. We start saying, okay, I want to be ready when 150 people walk in the door. Well, Pastor, what's that? That's 250 people in this church. When 150 people walk in the door, I want to be ready. What do I need to do to prepare the highway? Oh, I need to be a nursery worker? Okay, I can do that. Oh, you need somebody to help visitation and help go visit the sick? I can do that. Oh, you need a discipleship? We need a discipleship program. We can be a part of that. We can teach. I'm gonna scare all you ladies. Tuesday Bible study, ladies Bible studies is going to go to a program called Rooted. And you're gonna go through it. Bess told you you're the guinea pigs. You're gonna go through it. But I'm gonna tell you right now, that program is designed for you to go through and then teach. And when that 50 and that 150 people start coming through, guess what? I don't want you sitting in there having your Tuesday morning comfortable meeting. I'm gonna be saying, okay, Helen, what night are you teaching your class? Yeah. All right, Wanda, when's your class start? And come on, Connie. Yeah, and look at her. Yeah, let me tell you something. When we begin to make the highway ready, God will bring the traffic.
I hate to use this term, but if you build it, they will come. But if we sit back and we don't raise the flag, we don't prepare the highway, we don't smooth out the rough stuff, we don't move the stones, we can't wonder why the people ain't coming. Can't wonder why they're not coming in. We can't wonder why we're not being able to reach into other nations. We can't wonder about why we're not being able to do missions the way we want to do it, because we haven't prepared the highway. You've got to prepare the highway. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would allow the spirit of this sermon to cause us not to be offended, frightened, or afraid. But Lord, rather, let the words of your message to clear the highway. Give us a passion to move forward, to prepare locally through our local church, to prepare the things that we do in our nation through Men and Women of Action and other outreach groups, helping other churches and helping in times of trouble. To our world missions efforts, not only giving, but our trips and those that actually put feet on the ground. In everything we do, allow us the passion to clear the road, to build up the highway, to move the stones, so that as you, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, walks before us with banner held high, we can see it and we can run with it. Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' name.